Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Wiener, deep left. Look at this. Steve. Oh, my God. He's done it. Derek Native Wiener. Unbelievable. It is unbelievable. He's done it in his home ballpark. John Wiener.
That's not the Rock stuff. That's Rocky stuff.
That is unbelievable.
John Wiener. Joining us here on the Fan Hotline. Love talking to The Rock. Good morning to you, John. How's everything?
Everything's good. How's things with you fellas?
Pretty good. Done talking to Ryan Switzer, getting geared up for football season, talking some Pirates, talking some Steelers, talking all kinds of stuff. And, it's fun. But I wanted to ask you to get kicked off here. Do you think that Trevor Williams potentially could be pitching through something? Do you think he could be hurt?
Based on velocity, I would say no. The thing about it's so hard to explain. I mean, when he was having the success he had last year, it was hard to explain because he's throwing 91, 92, 93 miles per hour and they can't hit it hard. You know, they miss his fastball. He had like the softest exit velocity or one of the top 10 softest exit velocity in the league. And you know, he'd go out there every day and throw five or six or seven innings and give up one or two runs and had a historic second half run. And it wasn't impeccable location. It was 70% of the time fastballs that they couldn't barrel up. Now, all of a sudden, since he got hurt, that fastball isn't playing like that. They don't miss it. And so it has to be terribly frustrating for him because, again, I had a hard time explaining why they couldn't hit his fastball since he came to the big leagues. I didn't know if it was delivery. I don't know if it was deception, whether they didn't pick it up, spin rate. And it's a hard thing for me to explain. And then now this year, it's hard for me to explain how they don't miss it. I mean, and so now what he's trying to do, he's trying to pitch a little more backwards. It's not attack, attack, attack with the fastball. Now we'll see more first pitch breaking balls. And, you know, we'd see some sliders behind in the count, which we never saw before. And they're hitting that too. So I wish I had an explanation. I think if Ray Searidge or Trevor Williams had an explanation, they would try to go out there and fix it. It's just one of those things now where major league hitters or picking his ball up better, and they're not missing it. And it's 100% or 180 degrees different than what we saw a year ago.
John, it's been 5 starts now for Mitch Keller at the major league level, the first one back up at Williamsport on Sunday night. What are we seeing from him that should give us hope that he's going to get moving in the right direction sooner rather than later?
Stuff. I mean, when you're throwing, when you can get the fastball and you live in the mid-90s and you can get up to 96, 97 with a real good curveball, I think that gives you optimism that, you know, he'll figure it out, you know, and hopefully sooner than later. I think this happens with every major league player. You know, when you're successful, you're confident, you go and attack, you don't think playing the game's easier. I think when you have success throughout the minor leagues or big leagues, and then you come up, and I guess it's kind of what Trevor Williams going through. You know, Mitch Keller has always had great success. Now, all of a sudden, what he uses his stuff to be successful, all of a sudden, gets hit. I mean, that's going to hurt your confidence. I don't care who you are. It's like, oh, my goodness, this is what I always used to get people out. Now, all of a sudden, it's not getting people out. But I think it's more about fine-tuning with Mitch Keller, location, knowing, you know, when to use his stuff. You know, I know he's working on slider and, you know, throw some change-ups, but he was always mostly fastball, curveball guy, and that was always enough to get guys out. Well, so far up here, it's not enough to get guys out. I mean, you got to locate it better, both the fastball and the curveball. I think, you know, throwing the slider in there. I mean, it's just hitting nowadays, especially the power guys and the velocity. They're so adjusted, the velocity. I think it's tough to pitch if you can't locate. And I think that's kind of the growing pain she's going through.
Do Pirate fans, John, need to resign themselves to the fact that Cole Tucker may end up being kind of an all-glove, little-hit shortstop, or can he grow as a major league hitter and become a serviceable major league hitter?
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell. He's still a young guy. I mean, there's some things. I mean, I thought when he first came up, he looked great at the plate. And it's something, major league. It's hard. It's hard to play in the major leagues. I think everybody goes through it. I think when he came up, he looked to me like he was pretty established his first couple of weeks. I'm like thinking, man, this kid's way more mature. His approach is way better. And I'm talking about at the plate. I thought he looked great at the plate for the first, I don't know, week or two. And then, obviously, you know, they adjusted and pitched him a little bit differently, and then he really struggled. I think you need more at-bats before you can determine what kind of hitter he is. I'm surprised by the pop. I mean, that home run he hit, the big home run to center field to win it. I mean, that shocked me that he had that much pop in him. I mean, for a guy that's kind of wiry, I mean, he's got some muscle to him, but I always thought, oh, good glove, got some speed. I didn't know he had that kind of straightaway center field power. I think he's a hard enough worker, and I think he's a good enough ball player, and he's, you know, he wants to learn and be the best that he can be. I think he could be a productive offensive player. I mean, or, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say like an all-star production type player. I don't know that. But I'm not saying he can't, but I think he could be a guy that can not only pick it but hit at the big league level. But just because I think of his work ethic and how he goes about his business, and I think just with experience and more reps, I think the better he'll get.
What can it be like in a clubhouse, John, when there's a confrontation going down, even if it's just a heated conversation maybe, between a player and perhaps a member of the coaching staff or even the manager? If there's a couple guys in the room, or maybe it's packed full of people, do ears perk up and do guys start to notice what's going on? And how can that affect the perception of a guy if he's maybe tending to get in, have those kind of conversations over and over again?
Don't see that very often. You don't see very often where players and coaches get into heated conversations. It happens. I don't know if it happens very often. And I think, you know, a clubhouse when you're losing as often as this team has lost since the All-Star break, it shouldn't be a happy place, first of all. Everybody, how's the clubhouse? Well, I hope the clubhouse is miserable. I hope the clubhouse isn't fun. You know, if you lose 24-28, it shouldn't be a fun place to be in. And so, sure, people are going to be frustrated if you're struggling for whatever reason. And, you know, you don't want guys to be happy around you and guys to, you know, I don't know anything about, I mean, I've heard and read what's out there about what happened in the Pirates clubhouse since the break. And, you know, who knows the context of it? I mean, there's reasons why guys get mad at other guys. I mean, you hope that it could be tempered down when you get a coach or a manager involved, and, you know, cooler heads should prevail, because I think there has to be a respect factor there. But I do believe that there are times that there's disagreements and guys get heated. And again, especially when, you know, your team is struggling. And I mean, for me, the worst thing ever was, I'm not talking about like what coaches, I mean, they're all, I'm just talking about in the clubhouse, you know, when you're losing and you're struggling and people are happy. It's just a horrible environment to be in for me. I couldn't stand that. You know, if I was playing horribly but we were winning, I was a happy guy. But if I was playing horribly and the team was playing horribly and the clubhouse was joyous, it was a hard place to be in for me. So I think some of the things that go on in the clubhouse has to stem from the frustration and what's going on as far as wins and losses.
Last thing for you, John. Do you believe in the Cleveland Browns yet? There's so much hype in the Cleveland Browns. I can't stand it for some reason.
You know, I've always been a fan of every team in the division. because I want to watch those games. I want those games to be close. I want those games to be battles. I hated it that the Browns stunk for so many years because they weren't worth watching. I want those games to be worth watching. Last year, I became I got to rephrase. I can't say I became a Browns fan.
I'm with you. Yes.
Yeah, I was watching the Browns last year. I jumped on the Baker Mayfield train. I wanted the Browns to turn the corner. I want the Browns to be good because I want to circle that game, those games on the calendar this year. I look forward to the Ravens. I look forward to the Bengals. Now, hopefully, I can look forward to the Browns because I think, to me, you know, those interdivision matchups are what you want. You want anger. You want aggression. You want them to mean something. And so, yeah, I'm all about the Browns being good this year because I think it's two more games that I'm really excited to watch.
You want them to be good except for week 11 and 13 when they play the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Well, my friends drive me crazy when we get – or I drive them crazy when we get together to watch a game, playoff game, whatever. I like close games. I don't like blowouts, and so I want them to be good enough to be close. I want to see a game that's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I don't want it to be over in the first half. So, I like watching good football games. Obviously, I want the Steelers to win when they play them, you know, but that doesn't mean I want them to stink that day. I want to see a good, hard-nosed, aggressive, tight game.
Just good enough for the Steelers to break their hearts.
Exactly.
Did you pick your fantasy football team yet this year, by the way? Big fantasy football guy.
I just started like 2 years ago was the first time I started with fantasy football. I don't research it. It's so nice. I didn't even know how. The first year I went to the draft, and I was a few minutes late, and I didn't know how it worked. I just thought that they'd wait on me and give me crap for being late. But it turns out they made my pick for me. I looked and it's on one of those sports Yahoo sites. And I'm like, looking, I'm like, David Johnson, who's David Johnson? Seriously. I didn't know nothing about like the other, you know, I didn't know who David Johnson
was.
He's on
the news with Peggy Finnegan, right?
Yeah. Oh no, he got hurt in the first quarter of the first game. And that was my first, I was the first overall draft. I had the first overall pick. I guess he's rated number one. I never heard of him. He got hurt in the first stinking half of the first game. Missed the entire season.
Well, waiver wire. Thank you, John. We'll talk again.
Won the championship, by the way.
Look at that. Did you get paid?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about Jim Colony? 2 years ago, he won the championship. They didn't pay him. How about that?
Oh, my gosh. See, that's what I mean. You can't get involved with people like that. You can't get involved with people you can't trust, Jim.
I told him.
I hear you.
He needs to start breaking some knees, but he's afraid.
Yeah. I tell you what, you either got to make them respect you or you got to trust them, one or the other.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, they're both.
All right.
We'll see you, John.
Oh, my God. We need a whole extra segment of just nonsense with him every week.
David Johnson. He got hurt. He still won. How about Rock battling back from an 0-2 count, winning the league?
That auto draft must have made some really good picks later
on. That's
what
I'm counting on for mine this year. I got auto draft. I'm winning. I'm winning my league. I'm feeling it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.